Blog Talk Radio. good evening. Welcome to Witch Talk Radio Ohio Valley. This is your host, Kristen Lee, and accompanying me tonight is my husband, Daniel Hogue, H-O-U-G, heavy on the G-H.
Hello, how's it going this evening?
Tonight we have a very special guest, Judica Illis, and she is a household name in our magic community, and we are very, very excited to have her on. But before we bring her on the show, I want to give some props to my friends down in Louisiana, Chris and Rich Robinson with the Black Crowes. It's been a long time, and we chose this song tonight. You know, we all get older in life, and we all reflect, and now that it is September 1st, and the leaves here on the East Coast are turning, they're falling to the ground and making that crunchy noise when you walk. I remember back in high school when my brother and my friends and I would all just, you know, get in a little Volkswagen Beetle and put a cassette tape in of the Black Crowes, and we would just cruise on down the road and just sing. And life was good when it was free, when it was easy, when, before kids, before life happened, before responsibilities.
It always gets in the way, doesn't it?
Yeah. How are you tonight, honey?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good now.
Yeah, right? I haven't seen you in like, what, 15, 16 hours?
Okay. Sounds about right. I lose track of time, but
yeah.
Sounds about right.
The kids are going back to school, so all the props to the parents and the single parents out there. Doing the daily bump and grind to wake up at 5 a.m. and all the homework studying and all of that. So we totally relate. We've been back in school here for about 2 weeks now. So it's been, the homework is officially here and it's officially time to study again. Summer is over. That's a drag.
Yeah, I feel like if, you know, going, if I ever go to multiple colleges or go for a PhD or anything like that, that I should be able to say, you know, I helped my son with his homework. I think that's good enough. I should be able to just submit all the homework he did.
That would be like 5,000 books. Like, just like the 5,000 spells that we're going to talk about.
Absolutely.
So anyway, the number to call in, but please wait for a little while to call in, is 646-787-8618. Our chat rooms are open, so if you are following us on Facebook or our website, you can just click on the link to Blog Talk Radio. I think we just posted the link there, so you could even listen with your smartphone, or you can listen on your computer. If you're in the bathtub, chilling out, hiding from the kids, you can even listen there.
Oh, yeah.
You're on
tablet,
the road.
All of it.
Yeah, so technology is good. But anyway, let's get started here, because I'm excited to talk to Judica. I haven't spoken to her before, but I have been a big fan for a long time. And like I said, she is a big household name in our magic community, and she has provided us with so many sources of information. So without further ado, let's talk to Judica. Hi, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing this evening?
I'm better now that I'm speaking with you.
Oh, good. That's great. That's good news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just want to get started, and because we have a lot of, we want
sure.
to pick your brain because we look at you like someone that's very special.
I'm open for the picking.
Awesome. So, you know, I've been following you for a while. I remember about 3 years ago, I was in a Barnes & Noble, and I was looking for some books and stuff, and I saw this book, and it was the Encyclopedia of Spells, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I was with a buddy, and I was like, hey, I'm going to get this book, and he's like, cool, you should. So I did, and then I turned it on to a couple of my friends, and they downloaded it on their iPads and stuff like that. So we have been calling you for just about 3 years, you know, so we haven't really known about you, but now we do. So, and here in the Ohio Valley, there's a lot of people that are just starting, you know, into the craft and exploring different religions and different paths, and that's why we started this show, you know, to educate people, to enlighten people, to choose light over dark, that sort of thing. But there's some times where you kind of have to, you know, walk that line.
Well, there is no, you know, you can't see the light without the dark, you know.
That's right.
You want that balance.
That's right.
You know, you need both of them. But have you? I have been told that Ohio is the spiritual heart of this country.
It is very spiritual. It is full of ponds and rivers and streams, and
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of green. A lot of people. We have a big, just a big peace and loving. Like, I don't want to call it a hippie community, but a very much. They're very enlightened.
It's okay. You can call it. I'm old enough. I remember the first time.
I mean, we still have people driving around in Volkswagen buses, and we've got a very big music scene here. I mean, because Cleveland is the capital of the music world here. And, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is based out of Ohio. Yeah. And Ohio's really cool. I mean, we've got hills and we've got some flatland up west, because we're really close to West Virginia. And if you get to, like, Columbus, Ohio, it's very flat and you run around in circles all day long. But closer to the West Virginia side, there's just beautiful hills and a lot of native tribes, like the French and Indian War, were here. And you have to come one day and you'll enjoy it.
I would really love to. I've never been.
You will love it, especially in the fall. It's almost like New England minus the ocean. You know, we don't have the ocean, but we have the rivers.
Yeah.
So and you get to see the steamboats and all of the old boats just kind of float down the river.
Your weather must be a little bit better. I mean. I don't really like
it's okay. It's all right. It's getting worse. It is. It's getting chilly.
I'm not a huge fan of, you know, snow. So I mean, I know it's coming.
I know we're looking. Yes, it is. And I was reading the Farmer's Almanac, and it said that we're going to have a really harsh winter, as well as like Boston and the other states, like the New England states.
I decided I wasn't doing any events this winter that I have to fly to. I just came back from New Orleans last weekend, and I have something in New York in November, upstate New York, and I'm just going to sort of ride out the winter, because last winter was so horrible. I mean, you know, in terms of transportation, I don't like to cancel appearances, but I had, you know, the airlines canceled it for me, and I would like to really avoid that.
Yeah, it's going to be a brutal winter, according to the Farmer's Almanac, and they seem to be pretty on spot with things, you know?
Yeah, they do.
There was a big thing about, like, if the onions have a thick skin, it's going to be bad, and we chopped up some onions last night, and they were thick.
The caterpillars, if they're black.
Yeah, the ring around the caterpillars and stuff like that, And I think it was also, too, if you saw a lot of, like, acorns from the squirrels, in which they're all over my front porch, you know? Those are some of the things that are going to cause the winter here, too. But, yeah, we're looking forward to staying in and not doing much ourselves, you know? Yeah. So, like, when you were a little girl and you were growing up, did you feel like you were different from other people? Like, did you just feel
I was different from other people because I had sort of a unique family situation, and B, I have Aquarius rising, so, you know, the issue isn't so much did I feel different, but, you know, the other children certainly let me know I was different. I don't know if anyone has read, it's a reissue. I may not have the title perfectly correct. The author is Marion Green, and it's something Aquarian magic, and I was privileged to write the introduction for it. For the republication that just came out. And I talk a little bit about my childhood where I was, you know, I mean, other, you know, my nickname, I went, you know, I was in a class where certain children decided that everybody needed a nickname, and, you know, compared to some children, I guess I was probably let off easily, but I was the mystic one. I mean, you know, by the time I was nine. Yeah,
wow.
You know, it was, yes, it is cool, but it wasn't meant nicely. And, you know, I mean, I was a happy accident. My sibling is much older than I am. And my parents, you know, we were just talking, I was talking with the producer about, you know, how do you pronounce my name? And, you know, I don't even pronounce it the right way. Every time I get on a show, I get these little messages from, you know, all my Hungarians on Facebook who kind of, you know, very gently mock me. But, you know, my parents were Hungarian refugees, and we were alternatively living in areas that were heavily Spanish-speaking or, you know, really suburban. And I was different, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the kids here, you know, because I have a younger son, then I have a son that's a senior in college right now, but a lot of the younger kids are, with media and everything, they're kind of getting more enlightened about how there's other
it's a different time.
Courses of life.
You know, I mean, it is a different time now. And in some ways,
absolutely.
in some ways, a more tolerant and better time. So, you know, I was looking at a little girl today. I was in a supermarket, and as I was leaving, there was this little girl coming in, and her hair is very much like mine. And I was just looking at her. She's, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and her hair was just, you know, all those locks flowing. And my mother would never have let me go out like that. And I was so happy to see her. And, you know, I would have been mocked at that time. And so I was happy to see this little girl who's going to grow up without all the anxiety that I have.
Right. Yeah, speaking of nicknames, when I was little, I had very curly hair. I mean, extremely curly. And when it was wet, my friends would call me Wet Noodle.
I was cussing it. I wanted to be Morticia. Yeah. I wanted to be Morticia, yeah. But, you know, I was cussing it.
Everybody wants to be Morticia.
Yeah.
So when did you know that, you know, you were going to follow this path? Like, when did you know that you were a witch and you were going to get on this path? Like, how old were you when you said, oh, this is what I want to be when I grow up?
I don't know that I ever had anything conscious, because it's just what I've always done. You know,
okay.
I get asked questions like that a lot. So, you know, when I said I had Aquarius rising, it is people who have Aquarius prominent in their charts, rising sun, moon, you know, whatever, often have the experience of being, they are different. You know, they are somewhat out of step, or just, you know, I think we're visionaries, you know, we're ahead, but it doesn't feel like it at the time when you're in that group. So, I mean, I get asked a lot, you know, when did you know, when was, you know, what did your parents think? I don't think I ever didn't know. And it wasn't something that was particularly discouraged in my family. I'm not the first, You know, I get eye rolling, but I'm not the first to get eye rolling. I had a great aunt who frequented seances in Budapest, and, you know, people talk about her and they roll their eyes too. But they're not, no one ever disapproved or stopped me, or I had tarot cards when I was six. We had astrology books and witchcraft books and numerology books, and my mother taught me Baba Yaga, you know, since, I don't know, you know, always. And she was a hero. You know, when my mother was a good storyteller, and there was no, you know, creepy wicked witch. She was magnificent. So that's something that I was really blessed, because I have no, there's no anxiety about that for me. In my family, the thing they disapprove of, I mean, there are things they disapprove of me, but it's like my love of comic books. I love the song you started with. I love pop culture. I've always, you know, I was like 3 years old and turning on the radio. When I was three, you know, if you ask me, you know, what adults always ask children, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I never had the right answer. You're supposed to say, like, oh, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be a teacher. And, you know, A, I wanted to be a fortune teller, and B, I wanted to be a Vandella. I didn't even want to be Martha. I just wanted to be, you know, in the back.
That's right.
So the Vandella was definitely, my parents were far more disapproving of that than the fortune teller.
You know, I've been through so many different gigs, so many different jobs, and I'm now full time in the magic community. And honestly, if I would have known that it would have been okay to do this before graduate school, before, you know, doctorate school, I would have not even gone to school.
Oh, that was your path.
Yeah, that was your path.
You know, we all have, you know, I mean, I certainly took a, I didn't take a circuitous route to the practice, although it has been an evolutionary path. You know, it's always growing. I don't know that I have changed that much. You know, I'm not necessarily doing anything different, but I'm doing more. It's just, it's expanded. But to be a public, you know, public pagan, public witchcraft, you know, witch, witchcraft author, all of those things, that, it never occurred to me that that was in the plan. It's not that I didn't want it. It just never occurred to me. I did not set off to be a metaphysical author. That was just something, that's me. You know, those are, you know, that's just me. That's always been my interest. You know, it's what mm-hmm. I was mocked for in the fourth grade. It's just who I am. I actually have a really, really large, still unpublished since, you know, 1998, manuscript mm-hmm. on traditional methods of healing fertility that
wow.
included a chapter of magic spells. And it has, you know, for reasons having to do with marketing, it has never been published, but someone liked the chapter on magic spells and asked if I could expand that. And that's what became my first book. But it never occurred to me. I mean, there were, you know, tons of books already on these topics. It didn't occur to me that, you know, that anybody needed another one. But, you know, here we are.
Sure. Yeah. So, like, when you, before all of this happened, before you came, like, a household
yeah.
name, and you were writing and you were writing and you were thinking and researching, when you, because I know you have publishers and stuff, but when your first publication came to your door and you held it in
yeah.
your hand, what did that?
Oh, I mean, it's like giving birth to a child. It's very much uh-huh. like that. And that first book had a very, I mean, I have a complicated publishing history. That first book, I signed a contract for maybe late 1999, early 2000. And, I mean, it is the book that is currently Pure Magic.
Uh-huh.
It was originally Earth Mother Magic, but it was republished with a new cover and a new title. I rewrote that three times for, you know, my editor who, you know, if you need a good book on practical spellcasting that you can understand, I can testify that that is... my book is understandable because my editor had never read any kind of esoteric work before. She had worked on diet
sure.
books. So I, you know, I thought I was writing a beginner's book, but I was so far away from being a beginner. I didn't even know, you know, what I thought was a beginner's work was not, you know, I had no clue. So I had to rewrite it until she got it. And, you know, it was good. You know, I mean, people should never be, I hear people sometimes, you should never, ever, like, you know, hesitate to rewrite. You know, if somebody needs you to rewrite something, you know, you that's your opportunity to polish it, make it more
sure.
comprehensible. But, and then the publisher went bankrupt. And I didn't think
oh,
that
no.
book was ever going to see. I was really blessed because the editing had been complete, but the book had not gone to press because there were books that had just been printed and were sitting in a warehouse and, you know, are probably still sitting in that warehouse. So the publisher went bankrupt. There was like a long period where I didn't even think it would ever be published. And so, you know, to have it in my hands was amazing.
Yeah. That was probably one of the best days, you know, a major accomplishment,
yeah.
you know, hard work.
Well, 5,000 spells. I mean, I wrote two smaller books, and then I wrote 5,000 spells, and you know, for people who are not familiar with it, it's a 1,000-plus page spell book. But it was not supposed to be. It was supposed to be when we contracted for it. You know, when you sit there, you know, the publisher had. I was still trying to sell my fertility book, and the publisher knew I had a collection of spells. And my earlier book, which is now Magic When You Need It, had 150 spells, and he was, you know. Can we do, you know, 1,500 spells? Can we do 10,000 spells? Can we do 5,000? And he hooked me in. But we, neither of us, we don't think in numbers. And
right.
So we weren't thinking, you know, how many spells can you put on a page? We weren't thinking like that. And so we thought, oh, yeah, 450 pages, we can do that. And, you know, 100 pages in and I was still on the introduction. Clearly, you know, clearly we miscalculated. But that book, and that book was not written consecutively, you know, from beginning to end. Encyclopedia of Witchcraft was written, you know, section by section, very orderly. But 5,000 Spells was like putting together an amazing quilt of tiny little postage stamp size
sure.
pieces. It was crazy. And I never saw the whole, you know, we were it was more than double the size. The manuscript was late. I never actually saw a completed manuscript until I had the book in my hand. I asked,
wow.
You know, and I said to the publisher, like, once it was all in and he told me he was seeing proofs and, you know, that I would have a book soon, I had to ask him, you know, what does it look like? Is it, you know, is it good? What does it look like? And he said, quote, he said, it's a brick. And I didn't even know what that meant, but when I, you know, and they sent me a box of the original editions, which were over 5 pounds. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, just
baggage claim.
Yeah, just, I mean, gorgeous, but you know, like the mail carrier gave us dirty looks for weeks. And, you know, because it was a really hard book to mail. Amazon.com would not do, they did free shipping for a week, it changed their mind. So,
sure.
You know, the publisher has periodically done different covers to try to get it, you know, both sturdy but light and, you know, mailable, so you can mail it without, you know, owing an arm and a leg to the post office.
Sure, yeah. Because, gosh, 5 pounds is like, what, $15
yeah.
to ship?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We couldn't even do standardized media mail because apparently once you're over a certain weight, it becomes, it has to do with what each state's postal department specifies. It was crazy.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's out, and everybody has it that I know. You know, so that's a good thing. Thank you for putting all of your time into it. Well, you're welcome. How long did it actually take you from start to, you know, to finish? What was the duration of time?
The writing and the research were two totally different things. Because what happened, the research was over years. The research
sure.
was something I had done for years and years without intending to put it in a book. I was just I was just collecting them because for years I had been working on my fertility project, and I was so focused in the beginning. I was so focused on only. It was not a particularly good time in my life when I was researching, and I would just stay up all night and research, whether online or through books, or, you know, I'd email people, you know, I'd email perfect strangers with my questions. And
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, I just would not, I didn't keep anything that didn't apply to my topic. But from the corner of my eye, I kept seeing these really interesting things that didn't,
mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't fit in that project, but they were so interesting. And, you know, on the internet, especially, or even in you know, books, especially if you're getting them from the library, if you don't write them down, you might never find them again. And so I sort of had the side shoeboxes filled with notes, things that just were interesting. And that was years. But the actual writing, you know, from start to finish was like 9 months. It was really like a pregnancy.
Wow, that's very fast.
Well, because
that's
it was
great.
Crazy, but we didn't know. We didn't,
right.
You know, no one told us we couldn't do this. So we didn't know. I didn't know this couldn't be done. I mean, I've had
right.
people, you know, after it was published, tell me, well, you know, this is the sort of thing you usually do with multiple authors. But, you know, I didn't know. It was a really harrowing. I think about it sometimes because that was like 10 years ago. And I don't know, you know, could I do it now? I'm 10 years older, you know. I stayed up for days writing. Especially, I'm very
yeah.
punctual. And it was really hard.
Right?
It's like the first time I was ever late for anything in my life. So psychologically, that was really hard for me. I stayed up for,
sure.
you know, and no drugs, you know, just caffeine. I just stayed up for days typing. I was working off note cards. So I didn't, it was just, you know, transcribing a lot of it, organizing and making sure that there were directions that could be followed because I intended it to be a practical book. I didn't want to write an academic book. You know, I didn't want
right.
to write a book for, you know, explaining theory that couldn't be used. I had found when I was asked to write Earth Mother Magic, Pure Magic, you know, they gave me the title Earth Mother Magic. And I felt hypocritical because how do you, you know, books involve cutting down trees. How do I justify that? And so I really set out to write something. I looked at all, you know, I wanted to do something that was different. And I wanted to write a book that you could use without having to buy another book. Because a lot of books, they don't explain. So you read something, but then you have, you know, you have to go and find out. And I just, I think the author should do the work. The reader shouldn't have to do more work.
They should just lay there and eat bonbons and read and learn.
Exactly.
And that's what your books do for all of us.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. But, I mean, it was you know, a horrific book to write. And, I mean, I would just stay up until I was afraid I'd accidentally delete files because, like, you know, my eyes were drooping. And then I'd, you know, go to sleep for 3 hours and, you know, get up and do it again. And it was pretty horrific. And I wanted it to be fun. So, you know, you weren't supposed to hear, you know, I was weeping, but I didn't want you to know I was weeping.
Sure, yeah.
Now
yeah,
I can tell you. But
Did you get to travel any or do, like, any shows or anything like that that would refuel you as you were writing?
No. Oh, that was 9 months of writing straight. I didn't leave the house.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, thank God for my mother. You know, my mother really, you know, I mean, she really helped me. I could not. I mean, I had a disastrous divorce. My, you know, ex-husband, I was back on the East Coast because my ex-husband had stopped paying child support, alimony. He was really scary. So, I mean, we tried to argue about it, but then he just, that was a disaster. You know, if I had had a normal life, that book would not have been written. But I had already had kind of these disasters that left me, you know, homeless, but for the sake of my mother with, you know, I was a single mother with two small children.
Sure.
And, you know, they really enabled me to write that book. And, you know, people talk, but my children became competent really young. Even now, you know, my children make dinner for me and they do their laundry. They do my laundry. But that's in response to my writing career because I did nothing but write.
You were working, you know.
Yeah.
That's and kids. They
had a mission.
Kids, you know, they adapt. Right. Yep. Oh yeah.
I had a mission and a vision.
Definitely. You know, I remember back in the day when I was working as a psychologist up in Columbus, Ohio, because I've been, you know, here and there and everywhere. And my youngest son and I, you know, we lived in the Jeep for a while. You know, that's no joke. We really did. And, people always say, how did you get through it? How did you do it? Well, you have to do it. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a way.
What
we have a will.
Do?
Right.
I did. I mean, I did not want to leave California. I don't like the cold weather. And, you know, I thought about moving into my car, but it was a leased car, and I was afraid, you know, what if they take the car, then I'm really screwed.
Sure.
But
sure,
no.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, sometimes you need, you know, it's the light in the darkness. You have to walk yourself through those dark times, those dark tunnels, to come out into the light, and you become smarter and stronger, and you know, and I think kinder. People who don't have problems are often very unsympathetic because, you know, it's like having a physician who's never been ill. They don't know what it feels like.
Correct. Yes. Yep. And I preach to the kids, even our coven kids and all of, you know, the kids that come here. I say, you know what? We all sit on the pot the same way and we all put our pants on the same way, you know, and they believe that. And that's what
that's
they
true.
Do. And of course, I don't, you know, I don't say sure, but... just to get down to, you know, make me look cool because I said a bad word in front of the kids. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you can't, you know, it's so much easier to choose the easy way out. But sometimes when we walk this path, I find this is very true. When we walk this path, we have a lot of things taken from us just to be tested, you know, by the gods to see if we are worthy to serve them.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, people that have really had things taken from them are the spiritual warriors. They are, and they have a mission, you know? So, you know, God love you, lady. All the gods be with you. Many blessings to you because you've been You've been through it and you've made it. And that's why you're here. That's why we want you as an example to our magic community, to our kids, to you know, the people that are just now starting to find this path. And, you know, it's not an easy one, but it's very rewarding once we have faith. And,
well, you know, there is a misconception that if you are, that the power of your witchcraft, the power of your magic can be determined by how, at least superficially, well off you are. When I first published the book that is now, you know, I'm like Prince, the book that is now Pure Magic, and I think in 2016 we'll be having like a new incarnation. So, you know, if you like the cover of Pure Magic, go get it, because there will be another one, you know, within probably a year. But
okay,
and that has not been announced publicly yet, but, you know, there's a little tip. When I first wrote it, one of the first speaking engagements I offered was at Soul Journey in Butler, New Jersey, which is an amazing shop, and they will be having their 25th store anniversary in June. And I'll be doing more classes there in June of 2016 to mark the anniversary. But she asked me, and she had these great festivals of that time. Butler's, it's a little place, but it's near Wayne. And the first one I went to was just me and Dorothy Morrison and Gloria Starr, who is a great astrologer, and then the next year she had come here for Penzac too. And they were just really, and they were in the shop, and they were so intimate and so, these wonderful, wonderful two-day, just, you know, speaker extravaganzas, you know, witchcraft extravaganzas. But she asked me if I would do it, and the theme was money magic. And I'm not a hypocrite, and I work very hard not to be one, and I really wanted to do this, but, you know, I felt sort of, you know, foolish, because, you know, I had just landed back on the East Coast, because, you know, I had run out of my, you know, I was down to my getaway money, so, you know, it was time to go.
Sure.
I hadn't put myself back together yet. So I did a class called, you know, If You're So Psychic, Why Aren't You Rich? And we discussed, you know, I mean, all these, you know, these brilliant magical practitioners who have undergone periods of poverty. Helena Blavatsky was working in a sweatshop in New York. You know, poor John Dee, you know, his home was raided. And, you know, I mean, there, you know, he had times where things were good, and then he was in jail at times too. So it's all a learning curve. It's not, if you're stretching, if it's, you know, if there's any spiritual angle to it, you will have those, you know, peaks and valleys. And it's just important to keep going through them and to, you know, learn the lessons of them and be persistent and tenacious. In your magic, you know?
That's what we do here, you know?
Yeah.
When there's kind of not so great times, we just have a lot of faith and we keep going. You know, that's all we can do, because we know that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you can't give up. And, you know, I do teach, like, you know, spellcasting classes, and it's, you can't give up. If the first, you know, what do you do if the spell doesn't work? And, you know, I know people will assure you, oh, yeah, 100% of my spells work. Well, you know, nothing works 100% of the time. I don't even think death and taxes are guaranteed anymore. You know? So, I mean, you can't. Sometimes you find the real magic. It's like being an alchemist. You have to keep trying. You know, sometimes the first spell you worked, if it worked, you wouldn't get to the third or the fourth one, which is, you know, the supercharged one that's really going to change your life. So you got to keep digging.
You know, for Super Full Moon, Daniel had to work, and I had a metaphysical show in Cambridge, Ohio. When I came home, I was just pooped. You know, I was done. I had done Reiki and healing and all that. I didn't read or anything like that at that show, but I think that the energy work that I was doing is 10 times more draining than the actual sitting down and doing mediumship. But I came home, and I'm like, you know what? I've got to pick my butt up, and I've got to just kind of just sit outside and just pull in that lunar energy. and I had to. So I made myself do it. But
yeah, me too.
I find going, yeah, it's hard when you're busy all the time, you know. Sometimes you just want to lay in bed, but you can't. You got to pull yourself up and do it. And what I was telling a lot of people online, you know, and earlier at that show, I said, you know, if you have a broom, put it upright. Put some money in it. You know, just get $1 or $5 or $20, whatever you have, and put it in there and leave it in there and forget about it, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, put that lavender in the front of your house, because lavender pulls in prosperity and abundance. And you know, I was so overwhelmed that a lot of people didn't know that. And, you know, so that's just, there's a lot of things that, there's so much information out there and there's so little resources. You know, I find that sometimes. And connecting, you know, is what we need to do in order to kind of all band together to make it better, you know?
Yeah.
So that was very,
pass on, and, you know, people, you know, and pass on. Clearly there are things that are private, and clearly there are things that are, you know, maybe not meant to be shared with everyone.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm not
like
in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
But
in Sri Lanka, there's a lot of things I can't talk about.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
But I can pass it on to my kids.
But there are things but there are things we can share, because, as much as this is a witchcraft renaissance, and look, we're speaking over the airwaves and we're posting it publicly, and we're not waiting for, like, you know, the Inquisition to knock on the door. Still, there's a lot of isolation. There are less and less brick and mortar shops, and less transmission, especially of folk magic. You know, my parents passed away earlier this year, and I spent a lot of time somehow. You know, it brings up memories. You know, things, magical or otherwise, just things my mother taught me, and, you know, it's good to pass what you can on to, you know, your actual children, your spiritual children, you know, whatever, you know, whoever they are, just because people need this information, and this information really needs to stay alive. It was one of my goals when I wrote 5,000 Spells, and there has been, since 5,000 Spells was published, there has been this explosion in folk magic. But when I wrote that book, there was relatively little, and it was modest. You know, there were these sort of modest books. There wasn't this great big book. And I did not think anyone would like it, because it was not a popular form of, you know, it was not publicly a popular form of magic at that time. But one of the reasons I wanted to write that book was to, you know, once you have a mass-produced book, they're never getting rid of that information. And that book has excellent distribution. People write to me all over the world, from all over the world. And,
great.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They send me photographs of their books from, you know, I think every continent except for Antarctica, you know. So that's amazing. And it just, that, I feel so blessed to have been able to do that, to, you know, attempt to preserve this information, because information can also be an endangered species. So,
correct.
You know, we have to do our part.
You know, I don't mean to bring up a negative subject, but, you know, I've been very cautious about appearing places and actually reopening a store and stuff like that.
Sure.
I've been extremely cautious because, you know, I'm more into the holistic part of things now as I'm getting older, you know, and I'm really paying attention to what's going on in our community. And if you look in Florida and you know, those tragedies that have happened there.
Right.
And even, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had a public official come to my son's private swimming lesson and ask me what I was doing in the park. And we were just going to do like a healing and abundance circle to project positive projections. And I was asked not to do that. So with respect, because of their fear, I didn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't go into the Constitution or my rights. I just quietly said, okay. But you know what, Judica, the gods were good to me, because a couple of days later, you know, I really struggled with that. I was like, you know what, I shouldn't have to not do this. This is, you know, I just shouldn't. But you know what, I was like, God, you know what, I'm not going to do it. This is how it's going to be. You'll find me another resource. And, you know, as the sun rises in the sun rises and the moon sets, these wonderful people came to me with 44 acres and said, you know what, Kristen Lee, you are more than welcome to come and use our land for anything that you ever need.
Wow, that's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it all worked out. So I know that it's not going to stop. Yes, they've stopped me here, and that's okay. That's all right. But what we're doing...
Well, I mean, it's not, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's really not okay. You know, I mean, you're a taxpayer, too, so you should be able to use the park. But... It is what it is, you know, and I mean, I think our individual safety is really crucial, and sometimes that's something
Correct, yeah. And, you know, we had children there, and I didn't...
Right, you don't want your children ostracized. Right.
Yeah. I didn't want the police there, and me being me, you know, I was just like, well, you know, if the chief of police wants to have a watchful eye, have him come over and eat some pasta, because we made some fresh pesto, you know? You know, break the bread with us. You know, and he didn't know what to say about that. But, you know, we declined, and we let him know that we had an undisclosed location, and we would proceed, and all would be well. So it was a bummer, but it worked out.
And people have a lot of fear. You know, people do have a lot of fear. And we can't, I mean, we can, but it's not always, you know, beneficial to mock people for their fear, because, you know, people who are fearful behave badly. So, you know, ideally people will come to comprehend and not be so afraid. You know, we don't have to all believe the same things, but it's good not to be afraid of our neighbors.
Correct. And to respect each other, you know, for the belief system
exactly.
that they have.
Yeah.
You know? Do you ever find that there is some place in the United States or this world that you feel more comfortable gathering with people than others?
Yeah, but I do have that Aquarius rising. I am like that oddball. I have always lived in or near really big cities. So that's not an issue. And where have I lived? You know, I was born in New York. I've lived, you know, I'm bridge and tunnel. You know, I've always lived either in one of the boroughs, the outer boroughs, or... you know, in the Jersey suburbs, or I've been in Los Angeles, and those are places of, I think it's in the land. The older I get, the more I think about the influence of the land and the energy and the aura and the land spirits. These are places of tremendous tolerance. I occasionally teach a class on the history of witchcraft in New York City, and it's, you know, there's relatively little persecution. There's no, you know, it's not like Massachusetts or Connecticut or, you know, we have a couple things out in Long Island, you know, which is, you know, sort of close to that Connecticut. But it has always been a place of tolerance. I walk around in black all the time. I wear a cape. You know, I like my capes. My weight goes up in town, and you never have to worry about a cape. I wear capes all the time. No one in New York City looks at me. You know, if anybody looks at me, it's to ask me where I got it. That's it. But the first time I went to Salem, I'd been to Salem as an individual, but when I went to Salem during October, this would have been maybe 2010. I was there the week before Samhain, and I was doing some sort of a presentation for one of the shops, and I got in Salem in October. It's like Mardi Gras in New Orleans. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful, and it's also too much, because if you want to have... I think everybody should see it once, but if you actually want to shop and speak with people and be able to, you know, have an actual spiritual, magical moment, the spring is a really nice time to go, because people have time for you. October, it's this frenzy.
It's busy.
And,
it's busy.
But I got off the train. I had taken the train from New York, and then I took another train, North Station to Salem, and I got off the train, and I felt, you know, and people were looking at me like I was, you know, a witch and not in the best way, you know, and it was the cape very much, you know, the waters parted for me. People pulled their children across the street. It was a really, I had never really had that. And that was a really, really, really odd experience.
Yeah, I wish that I could I always say this because I've worked in Salem, you know, I've worked there for a while, and I have my little places I go to heal and meditate.
Yeah.
And I go to Salem a couple of times a year.
I love Salem,
I do too. I actually lived in Salem for a while, but the Willows is my spot. Yeah, I love the Willows. I mean, I can just sit on that rock and pull in Apollo and Diana and just be okay.
You know?
It's wonderful. And, you know, working those in October, like the Festival of the Dead and all that, that is so draining.
Yes, right.
When I would come back to Ohio, I would lay on the couch for the whole month of November because we would be working the psychic trip from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We would be doing probably anywhere from 40 to 50, maybe even 60 readings a day.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember.
It was awesome.
I did a book signing in the room with the readers, and I had never seen anything like that. The lines, I mean, they were crazy.
In the purple room? In the mall?
It was before it moved into the new place.
Right.
You remember
the
first
place?
Huh.
Yep, I remember. Yeah,
wow.
I remember. Honey, I remember you. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Okay. Wow. Nice to see you again, honey.
Yeah, see, we met.
Wow, yeah.
I met Lily Alley, and she was very nice to me.
I met her, gosh, probably, I'd say maybe in 2007, eight. You know, just fresh out of grad school. We just went, my friend and I, Shay, went, and we was like, you know, let's just blow Ohio for a while. And we just went, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I think do we have a caller, Daniel? Because I think somebody wants to really talk to you. They've been on hold for a long time. We're going to bring them on. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, just a second.
Phil, let me.
It's coming. Hi,
hey.
Caller. Hi, what's your first name, please?
My name is Diana Beatriz, Titi Diana Beatriz, and I write Judica when, you know, I'm on Facebook. Hi, Judica.
Oh, great.
Hi.
I'm the right one that writes you some words in Hungarian here and there.
Oh, hi.
With a cat on the face.
How are you doing?
So I just love listening to you. Your voice is so natural. I wish mine were like that all the time. You seem to be so...
This took a lot of work.
So,
you know, this is not my first language.
No, I didn't have any chance. I lost that. But what I'm saying is, it's just so natural. You sound so approachable and knowledgeable. I really appreciate this program. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. I'm so happy I
found out you were on.
I'm so happy to be able to speak with you in person. That's really special. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.
To you too.
To you.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Kristen.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. We'll talk again. Our paths will cross.
That I did not understand.
I said our paths will cross again. We'll talk again.
Oh, our paths will cross again. Thank you. Listen, I just wrote you a question about Salem and the sacred Salem. Is there a connection? Can you someday talk about it?
Absolutely. More, yes.
Thank you.
I'm very knowledgeable about Salem. I love Salem. I wish I was just a tourist in Salem sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The biblical parts of Salem, too, like Salem and stuff like that. Yeah. We go back. We go back a long time.
Yeah.
Lots of past lifetimes there, too.
Knowledge comes back, and that's what Judica writes about.
Good. Very good.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. Thank you. Judica, is there like a system of magic that you prefer to work in or not to work in, anything like that?
I try not to be an angry person in any form of my life if I can help it. You know, magically otherwise, although I don't know if that could always be avoided, but that is what I try. I try not to be angry. I try not to be resentful. I try not to be, you know, envious, all those sort of negative emotions that, if you fall prey to them for too long, begin to attract all sorts of spiritual entities that will take your life in unpleasant places. And so I try to avoid that. As far as styles of magic, I like my folk magic. It's what it's what I learned from my mom. That is what I'm most comfortable work with. I've seen ghosts all my life. I'm very aware of all those dimensions, all the realms, all the spirits of all kinds who are always there, but we cannot be aware of them often. I have a hard time not being aware of them. I don't know whether that's, I don't know whether that's better vision or lack of a filter. I don't know which way that works. But I've always been very, very aware. And so that is, that is always incorporated into my magic.
I was raised to believe and to practice, when we're bleeding as women, not to do any kind of metaphysics, nothing. When we're sick, when we have colds, when we have flus, and to fast and not eat meat or dairy. And a lot of people, I call that protective measures, protective magic. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I learned from a lot of different people. And they were all, I learned from a lot of different brilliant people. And they all contradicted each other. So I have learned how to sort of navigate that. Because there may not be one truth. There are different, different schools that sort of coexist. And I know what you're saying, but I have also been taught that we are really, as women, in our power when we're bleeding. And maybe
correct.
Even more so when we're menopausal. And to use that power, to use that for your own benefit, for protection. It's protection magic. To use those, so I was not discouraged.
Chick, I wish you were here. You should see my husband's face when you said menopausal magic.
It's very true.
The belief was, in ancient days they weren't thinking, what are those hormones? They were thinking that now that blood is retained and it's just expanding. And this is a hard one for modern women because we are just, every other television commercial is intended to make us feel bad about our appearance, our smell, our weight, our hair, or something.
Yeah.
But it used to be believed that, a woman with a large stomach who wasn't pregnant, that was her power. It's like, rubbing the medicine Buddha, the laughing Buddha,
right.
That stomach was considered something positive.
Right. The good
and,
luck,
you
good
know,
luck,
and I can hear everybody cringing out there, but there you have it. It was a different perspective.
It was a different day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, with the media and, perception, and as we go on with time and as we evolve as the race, as the human race, I look at some of the awesome TV shows that are out there now.
Yeah.
And speaking of Salem, that series Salem, I love it. I mean, I tune into
it
a lot.
Yeah.
It's very good. It's very good. But it's a little misleading too, because it's not the truth about, what really happened back in the day.
Right.
And, 1692s and the Inquisitions and stuff like that.
Right.
But do you think, because I think that, the kids, I'm a mom, I'm still a mom. I just think the kids are really latching onto that, and they're starting to perceive witches and even the community members that are little white collar conservatives, as Jimi Hendrix would put it. But I just think they're having a different perception of us. I mean, how do we combat that? I mean, because I can, if we go back to the pool, the private swimming lesson, and the park manager coming to me, and I clearly remember telling him, I honor the saints. I have St. Michael, St. Miguel around my neck, and I have St. Benedict around my neck because I've dealt in the paranormal. I've dealt with demons. I've dealt with entities, and those aren't fun. But getting back to the question, how do we, just the perception of the media, what's your take on the perception of the media, how they're perceiving witches and how they're stereotyping?
You probably don't want to get me started because, Everybody tells me about these, you know, TV shows and movies that they like, and I am really, really critical. And I try not to give any money. You know, I vote economically to anything that I perceive as defamatory. But media, and I was married to someone who was in TV network advertising, so I do comprehend the way media works. Media is often very sensational. It's not just about witches. We can turn on the news. You know, these headlines are just so misleading, and they're always making things more sensational than they actually are. And
correct.
There's maybe as much as because people enjoy watching that. And so as long as people watch it enough for advertisers to pay for it, that's going to continue. But what we can do, you know, we may not have that much control over that other than not supporting something. But what we can do as individuals is to conduct ourselves with dignity and respect.
Sure.
That is, you know, we're always representing. And that's something I think people, if you are any kind of a public person, and I did not intend to be a public person, I just never thought anyone would actually buy my first book. So it didn't occur to me to use a pseudonym.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I was too stupid to use, or not confident enough to choose a name with more privacy. So,
boy, I wish I would.
I have no closet.
Really...
You know, my closet is gone.
But I am
always representing, and so we should not tear each other down, and we should treat each other with respect. And we should comport ourselves, in our dignity and in our power. And that is the way to, and just be more interesting. Because
correct.
I don't, you know, entertainments will always be not realistic. Because they're trying, you know, when you watch spellcasting on television, if it's Buffy or, you know, whatever it is, they have to show you something visually in 1 hour. And, you know, it's like a police drama, you know, and in a police drama, the crime is always solved in an hour. That it's not real. You know, so when Willow Rosenberg casts a spell, if it works, you get like lights and smoke. But that doesn't, and people only learned about spellcasting from television, and there are a lot of people like that. It's, you know, nothing to be ashamed of, because there are tons of people who that is their first introduction. They think
correct.
That's actually going to happen. It's not. That doesn't bother me so much. I comprehend the need for that. I dislike when witches are made to be grotesque. Or less than, you know, I don't mind when they're more than human, but I certainly don't like when they're less than human. Grotesque or just, you know, or even that kind of mockery or, you know, that it's okay to kill witches. It is not okay to kill witches.
No, it's not. I follow the news, all those sort of witch hunter stuff.
It's not cool. Even if she gets her revenge at the end, it's not okay. So,
no.
But you know,
because that sheds a dark light on us. I mean, that revenge sends, you know,
it
just sends a very dark light about what we are.
Well, it dehumanizes us. It dehumanizes us, and it you know, because you know what, because what are witches? Ultimately, we're people.
Right.
At the bottom line, we're all people, and anything that takes away from that, and you know, the history of the world is the history of. People with power persecuting other people, and you know it's time to stop.
Right. You know, in our chat room, Fountainhead just said like the fairy godmother works the best. You know, just to be that happy fairy godmother.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I mean, because there's no threat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no fear. It's just happy grandma fairy godmother Zalakadula bibbidi bula bibbidi bobbidi boo. You know.
If you have my anybody out there, if you have my Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, I write a lot about media, and especially the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty. You know, there are fairies, and you know, Maleficent technically is also a fairy,
correct.
But she's presented as a wicked witch. So, you know, right. as long as they're doing nice things and being sort of obedient and, you know, and charming and obedient and kind of giving people what they want, oh, well, then we'll call them fairies. But, you know, if they assert their pride, she's insulted. If they
right.
assert their pride and if they assert their power, you know, this is women, you know, and, you know, what is happening to women around the world right now is
yeah.
terrible. Yeah, I mean, these poor, you know, Yazidi women in, you know, with Daesh, the Islamic State, it's, you know, I mean, it's
yes.
not getting enough press because it is horrible.
They were hung upside down in France. In the Middle East, just what, 2-3 weeks ago?
I mean, they're being sold as sex slaves, and just it,
sure.
it's just, you know, just coming in and you know, raping women and abusing women and taking women from their families and from their lives, and it is, you know, and if this is happening somewhere, then the rest of us shouldn't feel that safe.
Right. Right.
So, you know, but that is, you know, the history of witchcraft, the history of women, very much entwined together.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, because back in the day, you know, back in the Inquisitions, if you knew how to heal someone, you know, and you had those herbs or you had, you know, knowledge of medicinal purposes, you were witch, you're a witch, you know, and if it didn't work, well, oh my goodness, you were dead. They would kill you, you know, that's just how it was back then.
Well, actually, you know, it was often healers. You know, if you did heal
right.
somebody, they would kill you. There was no
right,
winning.
Because it was magic. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's perception. You know, it's perception. And I feel like, you know, the whole basis of this, you know, why we do this Witch Talk Radio is to educate and to break the barriers of fear. You know, we've all got to get on the same page as one race so we can all get enlightened and we can all get to that next level of self-actualization, you know? That's the basis for why we do what we do. And, you know, you keep writing, lady.
Oh, I hope
don't
so.
Stop.
I hope so.
You are just, you're very, very special to all of us, very special. And we really appreciate all of
your
blood, sweat, and tears going into it. It's just like, there's no words that can describe how honored we are to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
Tonight.
That means a lot to me because I really did not, I did not expect any reception, let alone a good reception. So that really does mean a lot to me. Thank you.
Good, very good. So what's coming up for you? What's going on in your world? Like what you doing on Halloween night? What are you gonna
do?
I don't
even know yet. I you know, I had a chaotic year this year with family. I mean, you know, both my parents passed away earlier in the year, and I hadn't worked for a couple of years before that. So I did a lot of appearances this year, and just I don't know. You know, I would like to buckle down and start working on some new material. That is
perfect.
My goal for this. My goal for this winter is to kind of hibernate and write.
Yes. Mine is too, and to work and to
yeah.
stack those Benjamins, you know, because I've got a boy that needs braces and I've got a senior in college.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know what's really
yeah.
cool, though, speaking of the kids, you know, my oldest son, he's an English major. He wants to be an English professor. And this is his second week starting in his senior year of college. And he came home and he's like, Ma, you know, I have this class and this my professor's a psychic medium. And I was like, well, that's great. He's like, yeah, we have to, for one of our assignments, we have to channel our ancestors. And I'm like, oh, Ringo, you know exactly how to do that, honey. That should be no problem, you know? But if they're starting in our universities, you know, if there's actual professors that are in that field that are encouraging our youth to continue to tap in to that grid and tap into that medium side of things, I'm so proud of him. You know, I'm so proud that he chose that school, he chose that major, and, you know, the gods led him to that professor. So we are very blessed for that. And
yeah,
I just wanted
wonderful.
To throw that out there. So. Yeah. Yeah. So when I, you know, as I was younger, I always loved Halloween because I'm a Halloween baby, you know.
Yeah,
I,
me too.
I love Halloween.
Oh,
love
is it your birthday?
Fall. No, my birthday is in early October. But it's just, you know, Halloween.
It was,
I've
that
always
was my
been...
daughter's due date. I was so excited. That was the due
yeah.
date I was given for my first child. And I was so excited, but she, you know, she was born significantly later, so she's in November, you know, mid-November. But I had visions of, you know, I had visions of, you know, Halloween party, birthday parties every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we lived in a haunted house. I mean, an extreme haunted house for a very long time. And finally, we just left. You know, we left it, and it was a big story. But, you know, I always thought the kids would be really super cool because we would actually have a haunted house for their birthdays because my oldest is the end of September, and my middle or my youngest is right on in October, in the middle of October.
Yeah.
So I always thought that we'd be really cool and, like, have all these awesome eyeballs and, you know, witch hats. Cupcakes and, you know, just crazy stories. But, you know, we left the house and now we're okay. We're all good now. It's all worked out. But do you have, like, because I remember when I was little, I always liked Halloween. I always loved that season. But as I'm older.
Yeah.
But as I'm older now, I find that, like, summer and that solar energy opposed to, like, the lunar energy is just so much more adaptable for me now. You know, has that ever changed for you? Are you, like,
I don't think you have to pick. I don't think you have to pick. I mean, I love Halloween, but I love midsummers too. You know, I have two children and I love them both. And I am not, but I mean, that's personality. Some of us are more, I don't know, you know, it's like animal allies. Some people, one is enough, you know? One is more than enough for some people. And other people, like, they have, you know, entire menageries, just packs. And I'm like that with my spiritual work. I'm like cross pantheon. I'm constantly expanding. And I love holidays. I love holidays with magic, and I love holidays with food. And celebrating, and that would be the ideal world where all you have to do is, like, you know, celebrate all the time. That would be great. You know, the witches, the reveling witches. That's, you know, if you read the witch trial records, you know, that is one of the major complaints about these women who are accused of being witches is, you know, They had their broom do their work and they flew off and they were having fun on these mountaintops, and that is that they were not dour people, and they were not sad and severe and starving themselves and being, you know, self-flagellating themselves, and you know you have at the same time these women, and I have a book on saints, you have these women who their spiritual work is to starve themselves. And, of course, they develop visions. And, you know, you understand. Poor, you know, not poor, you know, maybe this is, I don't know, you know, it's hard for me. It's not my nature. Catherine of Siena and, you know, these women who just, you know, live on, you know, and they, of course, they all die young, you know, two communion wafers a week, and that's what, you know, that is their diet. You know, they're always, you know, you hear, like, you see these websites where they describe, you know, oh, St. Genevieve, she was a vegetarian. Well, yeah, because she didn't eat anything but bread and water, and even that was three times a week. So, you know, it's just, you know, in terms of nutritional health, this is not, she's not a role model, but, you know, but it was their way of having, you know, and it is, you know, it was like a constant vision quest.
And
I get that, you know, I do get that, but it is not my nature. I like the, you know, eat, drink, be merry, and, you know, and perform some witchcraft.
That's right. And eat some more. I always like to.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you do that magical work and stuff like that, you expend a lot of energy. You gotta refuel. You can't just go without. You know.
And all those images, you know, there is a lot of recipe. Encyclopedia of Witchcraft has some recipes because in a lot of folk traditions, it was believed the witches had the best recipes.
Oh, we do.
Of course.
I put 30 pounds on my husband in 2 years.
The first time I came to dinner, I cried.
What was that? Let's get this on record here.
I said the first time I came to dinner, I cried because it was so good. I couldn't help myself. I had tears of joy.
Tears of joy.
That's so nice. Yeah, that those tears when you see the sublime.
Yes.
This is a really beautiful thing. Sometimes I teach tarot, and was giving this woman private lessons, and when I teach tarot, I have people tell me, look at the cards and, you know, forget everything you may have read or, you know, someone has told you, just look at the card and tell
right.
me what you see. Not what you interpret, not what you think, and not what, you know, just literally, what do you see? And I had
mm-hmm.
a student who was a classical musician, and to me, the Three of Swords, up until that point, and that is the heart pierced with the swords. Is it the two or the three? It is the three. I always perceived it as, you know, look at it, it's heartbreak. But she looked at it, and she said, it is that sublime moment of beauty that brings tears to your eyes and just pierces
wow.
your heart. And isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
I never
oh,
looked
wow.
at that card the same way. So, yeah, just to look at that food and, you know, sometimes you just eat something that is so perfect or drink
mm-hmm.
something that's so perfect. Or,
yes.
you know, perfumes, you know, that
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
you know, the sublime, you know, the sublime levels of the physical world.
Yeah, it's, you know, we as what we are, we walk in the physical, but we're very much in the spiritual, you know?
I try to
invoke that in everyone, but
yeah.
not
well,
everyone.
You know, if you can integrate them,
hard.
That is like,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, we just, you know, here in Ohio, we have a lot of people that are on the same page. There's really no jealousy, honestly. So we're so fortunate here, especially in this county and the tri-state area, because, you know, we're right on the border of Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. So we can be in three states in 20 minutes.
What is your tri-state area?
Ohio, Pennsylvania. The three states are Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania.
See, if you move
yeah.
a little bit east, see, over here, I'm in New Jersey, and the tri-state area is New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. Isn't that interesting?
We love New Jersey. We went there. Daniel and I, okay, so this is how we did this. We were married on the Feast of Diana. Last year, right?
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it was last year. Oh, thank you. And we didn't go on a honeymoon because we take care of someone that he's very independent, but he's let's just call him. Let's just say that.
You have responsibilities.
Correct. And he
yeah.
when he found out that we were going, he thought we were leaving him forever and ever and ever.
Oh.
Amen. So
yeah.
he ended up in the hospital, so we canceled the honeymoon just to take care of him. So this year we were able to go for solstice, for Sol Invictus. And my husband, he works at a casino, he's a pit boss, and we went to Atlantic City, and we sat, you know, we just went up knee high in the ocean, and we caught upon Apollo, and it was, and it was amazing. It was one of the best, it was the best
mm-hmm.
time I think I've ever had in my life. It was just very, very cool. And the kids back here, you know, they had probably 5,000 people on the piers of Wheeling, West Virginia, on the harbor. You know, we're doing this big solstice celebration, and it was a big success. And, you know, we were kind of sad we couldn't be there for them, but we really needed to take our honeymoon.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, so for like 3 months, we're like, we're going to move to Jersey. We're moving to Jersey. And, you know, there was a time where they have these people on the boardwalk that, you know, push you in like a, what is it, I call it a wagon. I'm old school, but what was it, Daniel?
You know, I forget exactly what it was called, but they were just walking up and down the boardwalk. You sat in it and they pushed you.
The first time I had a hookah. I smoked out of a hookah right on the beach. I never smoked out of a hookah before. That was cool. So we had a blast. We did. We really had a good time. It was
That's
awesome.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have about 9 minutes left of the show. How can people find you? If you can tell us.
I am all over. I caution you. I do answer people, but I was gone for a week and I am so far behind on my correspondence. I apologize in advance. You haven't even sent me anything, and I'm apologizing to you already. I am all over the internet. I have a website. It's myname.com, judikaillis.com, JUDIKAILLES, like Sam, .com. And it'll connect you to my Facebook and my Twitter from there. And I am on Facebook and I am on Twitter, and I've got professional page. I've got the personal page.
Great.
I I have a bunch of dates lined up for June, and I have something in April that I'm not allowed to say yet. But
okay.
And I upstate New York, I will be there. And again, I can't say it yet because I can't say it before the store announces it. But I will be someplace in right before Thanksgiving.
That's awesome. Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool.
And I hope to come to Ohio someday.
Oh, I hope you do. We have a very, very great friend. Her name is Julia, and she is in charge of like the Pittsburgh Pagan Pride and all of that. And it's October 3rd. The Grimassis are coming in from Mass to appear.
I just saw them last week.
Yeah, they're awesome. You know, when I opened my store back in the day when I came home from Salem and just rooted here in Ohio, Stephanie really helped me stock my store, so I love them very much. You know, yeah. But October 3rd is what's I talking about? Damn it! I'm getting old, honey. But Julia is part of the Pagan Pride, so she always has events. If you ever get a chance, I'll hook you up with her if you ever want to come close. Because Pittsburgh is only 40 minutes from us, you know?
I've always wanted to go to the Andy Warhol Museum, so I've always wanted to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, they have a restaurant attributed to Andy Warhol. And the Witch's Ball last year was right across the street from his gravesite. It was amazing.
Oh, wow.
It was so awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I remember Andy from my childhood in New York. You know, he was very much a presence. You would see him walking down the street. So,
awesome. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot. I mean, we're a lot on, you know, some of us have to be underground, unfortunately, but we're all getting together.
We all have to do what we have to do to keep safe, because that is that is our priority, and mm-hmm. you know, it's important to keep safe so you can keep perpetuating this and pass it down to the next generations, and it's very important. And some people are going to be more public than others, and a lot depends on where you are. You know, there are places that it's just safer than other places. Places that are more welcoming than other places. And hopefully those welcoming places will just expand over the years.
Yeah, you know, in 2008, 2009, 2010, it just seemed like it was okay. You could walk around the streets anywhere and it was okay. But maybe that was just the mindset for me back in the day, you know. But, you know, now that, you know, some things have changed and there's things going on, you know, it kind of makes you cautious, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think the economy, too, it makes people nervous, and then it makes people look at their neighbors.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
You know, people are – but when things are good for more people, they are kinder and more welcoming to more people.
Right. You know what, Judah, I saw, and I haven't got it yet, and I haven't even had a chance to crack it open, the paranormal stuff, the publications that you've written on paranormal. Can you talk just briefly about
It's called The Weiserfield Guide to the Paranormal, and it was written under an alias, so people don't realize it's my book. Ironically, I think it's my best writing, you know, just as writing goes. It's under the name Judith Joyce, but it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. We just did a Paracon, you know, in Moundsville, West Virginia, because that's where the prison is, the haunted prison.
Yeah.
And Steve Hummel, he runs the Afterlife Museum in Moundsville, West Virginia. He correlates with the prison, and he invited us to come down there and speak on, you know, the place that we live in and different Strega protections and stuff like that. But is there anything that you could, you know, shed light on for a paranormal investigator that they need to know in order before they do a case or after they come home from a case?
You know, if you can, and you know, and that is, you know, there's an if there, but if you can, coexistence is easier than removal. And sometimes, depending on how entrenched they are, you know, it may be necessary. But, I don't know. I mean, I think you know tons about this.
I do, but I just want to reinforce it to the people that don't believe
I mean, for me, you have to be careful wherever you are. Do cleansings before you go in. Do cleansings as soon as they're done. Keep yourself, you know, you have to fear is bad. And if you sense that fear in yourself, then you know, either hesitate or find what makes you calm, because fear attracts the fearsome. fear. It's like honey for bears. It just draws them in and they follow you. So you have to know it. And I am a person who used to have so much fear. I had fear of tons of stuff. I've overcome most of them. I was afraid to speak in public. You know, it's what mm-hmm. I was saying to our caller. It took a lot of work. 20 years ago, I could not have conceived that I would have been speaking on the open airwaves just because I was so self-conscious and so insecure. So you have to know what you're afraid of and what you're not afraid of. That is, you are the pivotal part of this. But salt is big, and, Michael Archangel.
Yes.
Is my rock.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he hangs above my son's bed. He's around my neck. And I started taking a demonology course just to be more educated because I love education.
Dr. Yeah.
Bishop Long, he just was accepted into the Franciscan Brotherhood. And he's just a wealth of information. He's a demonologist. And I try to at least allow myself 2 hours a week to sit down and do those studies, but with working for California Psychics 40 hours a week, oh my God. And then the shows, and then being a mom and a wife and a cat herder, a dog herder, holy moly.
You need a clone. It's just,
I do. I need freeze me. But it just, I find that, when people come to me and ask me, I think I have something in my house. And I'm like, well, what do you know? And there's, and coming from the psychological background, the first thing I think of was their mental illness, but then going through it firsthand, sometimes there isn't a mental illness. There's definitely other forces out there that aren't as positive as we hope they would be, and that's being light. That's candy coating it.
I don't think we all have the same reality, and we don't all have the same experiences. And so maybe we have, because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there, but it may not, we're not all affected by the same forces. And that's based on so many factors, but it doesn't, because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not there.
Correct. It's just, feeling it. And I always tell all the clients, that first initial feeling that you have, trust that, because that's spirit working through you. The second one is your human reinforcement, which is doubt. That's what society has made you believe, and I live by that, and I teach that to the kids, and hopefully they're grasping that. Oh, she just came on and said 60 seconds. So we'll wrap it up.
I always ask people about how they felt initially. What was their first feeling before they thought
about
it? Like
practical magic. Like Stevie Nicks said, trust your first initial feeling,
That's right.
But I love you so much. Thank you so much for opening up so much
knowledge for
all of us.
Thank you.
And, many, many blessings to you. And
thank you.
I hope to see you face to face one day. And when I see you, I'm gonna be like a golden retriever. I'm going to hug you, kiss you, squeeze you, call you George.
I used to have a golden retriever.
We just rescued one. She's 11 years old. Her name's Dixie. We call her Dixie Chick. But we're getting ready to wrap up. We've got 10 seconds.
Thank you so much.
For coming.
And thank you, everybody, who listened.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Witch Talk Radio, Ohio Valley. Many blessings, and please remain in the light.